This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast, now part of the Believe Network. And joining me is my co-host, Stephen Kerr, 65 plus years in sports journalism between the two of us. So you're in very good hands. And later in the show, the Astros have turned the season around. And we're going to look at three under the radar reasons among many Astros topics in this one. But first, Stephen, as we sit here Tuesday afternoon, the Rockets might be a low-key winner in free agency, even though, who did they sign? What did they do? But it's true.
I think so, Robert. You know, the Rafael Stone and the front office has been very busy lately, what with the draft and, you know, the trades that they've made and, you know, the whole free agency thing. I mean, it's interesting just to see how a lot of these things are coming out. But the Rockets may very well, sometimes, you know, the quiet moves or non-moves can really make the difference, especially with a team like the Rockets that are trying to get back into the playoff race. And, you know, it's all on paper right now. But, man, you have to feel good about the Rockets offseason right now.
Yeah, and this is, in a lot of ways, not just about the Rockets. And I'll
it's about the whole Western Conference, really, if you think, yeah. I mean, when you see what's been going on lately.
Yeah. To move up in the conference standings, the Rockets need to jump at least one team. We know as they finished 11th. And the standings out west, and several teams severely became weakened in free agency. The Clippers lost Paul George, Golden State lost Klay Thompson, the Nuggets lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and it's not as big a loss, but the Suns did lose Eric Gordon, former Rocket. Mm-hmm. Steven, to gain ground, it helps if other teams lose ground. So these are great signs, especially with aging teams like the Clips, Suns, and Warriors.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think I saw where, didn't Chris Paul go to the Spurs? You know, there's another guy that's it's been around forever. And yeah, he may have good leadership qualities, but kind of makes you wonder, you know, how much of a season is he going to last? So yeah, it's been interesting to see how the Western Conference has shaken in the last couple of days. You mentioned Eric Gordon. Well, he's back in Daryl Morey's camp in the Eastern Conference with the Sixers. So he's no longer in the West. So it's interesting how this season, well, really every season, how it plays out when it comes to free agency as to not only who switches teams, but who switches conferences and where the balance of power may or may not be had once the next season comes as a result.
It wasn't all good news. A couple of teams did get stronger. The Mavericks likely got better with Klay, and OKC definitely has had the best offseason, adding Caruso and Hartenstein. I mean, that was just some good stuff from them. And they lost nothing of importance. And even though the Rockets didn't add any big names, they've got six young core, all likely to show some sort of improvement. If not, maybe one of them takes a leap. Plus, they add a healthy Steven Adams and Tari Eason with Reed Shepard. And I always think of that old axiom, Steven, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse.
That's right. Standing Pat. Well, standing Pat was definitely not an option for the Rockets. I mean, there's no way they could afford to do that, despite the season they had last year. They needed to go out and address some things. You know, so much talk about when you have a draft of drafting the best available player. Well, you know what? I don't always believe in that. And in the Rockets' case, they didn't do that. They went out and filled a need that they really, really needed to fill. And that was shooting. I mean, if you look on paper, Reed Shepard's shooting is lights out. I know it's college. And let's be honest, it's certainly not going to be those type of numbers in the NBA. But if he even has those respectable numbers in his first year, depending on how he develops, that's an improvement for the Rockets. He's good defensively. He's a good ball handler. And I know we'll get into the AJ Griffin trade. I know you've talked about it on a previous podcast, but You know, there's another guy. He's not a defensive liability. He's a good ball handler. So the Rockets really did address some needs that they absolutely had to, at least on paper.
Speaking of shooting, I like the signing or re-signing of Aaron Holiday. It's 2 years, $5 million per year, but really only 1 year because the Rockets, again, have made a team option on that next year like they did with Landale, Green, and Tate. These are all low-key, expiring contracts, perfect for any trade. So good stuff that Rafael Stone, I have to tip my cap to him there. And plus, they're so deep now, Stephen, when you realize this is 10 to 15 in the rotation. In no particular order, Shepherd, A.J. Griffin, Holiday, Landale, Jeff Green, and Jayshon Tate. So if anybody goes down, if anybody is hurt or needs a night off, you've got some incredible depth.
Yeah, you certainly do. And injuries, as we know, in a 82-game NBA season, they're going to happen. You know, who would have thought Tari Eason would be down for most of the season last year? So the more depth you can add, the better. And you know, the lower investment means lower risk. It means you're not taking a chance and selling the farm on a lot of these guys, like A.J. Griffin, you know, like Aaron Holiday. You've got options to play with. And if those guys don't work out, well, you know, you didn't sell everything off to get them.
Yeah, and Jalen and Jabari, they were relatively healthy, but the other four of the core six, I've said it and I'll keep repeating this, we lost 130-plus games between those four. So you don't know, even with young guys, how it's going to work out. So depth is huge. And, you know, speaking of a team that has actually lost some depth, Stephen, how excited are you that the Clips have reunited James Harden, PJ Tucker, and KPJ? Remember how unforgettable those first few games were of the 2021 Rockets? Wow.
Yeah. And how many championships did those guys win when they were with the Rockets? There's your question. I mean, yeah, that's interesting how a lot of these former Rockets getting on the same team. And, you know, I mean, you look at that with like a lot of former Texans or former Astros, but yeah, in this case, I'm not exactly shaking in my boots thinking that the Clippers are going to be breathing down the Rockets' neck with those guys on the team all at the same time.
Yeah. Unless something strange happens. And I don't know if DeMar DeRozan, even that signing, like as you and I are talking, that's rumored, but I don't know if that really moves much of the needle. I feel like, yeah, the Rockets can easily pass the Clippers. And don't forget, you know, Kawhi had a relatively healthy season last year. James Harden, you know, the years are going to start adding up and the injuries are going to start coming more and more. So, yeah, I mean, to me, the Clippers look like a definite team that the Rockets can sort of pass in the fast lane.
Well, and, you know, Robert, one of the other things that I really like about this whole thing is the moves that the Rockets are making. Ime Udoka is getting the players in place that fit his system. You know, when you talk about A.J. Griffin, for instance, you know, there's a guy that when he was with the Hawks, I think they were trying to maybe make him shoot too much and maybe be too much of a fast-paced offense if he can get things out of his head. I mean, I know he had some personal issues going on. His play really dropped off. But, you know, if he can come back to some semblance of what was expected of him when the Hawks drafted him in 2022, I think he would fit better in Ime Udoka's system just for the pace standpoint, if anything else, because I think it will be more to his pace. So with moves like this, and then the drafting of Reed Shepherd that I think would be a good fit. The Rockets are getting the players, you know, they started to do this last year, but they molded some of these young guys into Ime Udoka's system. Well, now they're adding some more elements that I think are just right for the system that Ime is trying to do, which I'd say would increase the chances of him getting back to the playoffs.
Let's go back to Reed Shepherd for a second, because I listened to his presser today, and Stephen, there wasn't any unforgettable quotes in there, but you can't help but be impressed by how composed and thoughtful he sounds, very humble and likable too.
Yeah, and that's the kind of guy you need, I think. There's a good mixture. You know, Reed Shepherd, you hear all kinds of good things about him. And by the way, I just saw before we started recording, Robert, he's going to wear the number 15 jersey for the season. And, you know, there have been a few guys that weren't. Clint Capella is one. Joey Dorsey was another. There's a number of guys that have worn the number 15 jersey. And looks like Reed Shepherd is going to be the guy that he's going to wear number 15 for the Rockets. But I think it's a good addition all the way around, not just from the talent standpoint, but from a personal standpoint. He seems like an all-around good guy. He comes from good stock. You know, he certainly comes from a good school that, you know, have been kind of up and down in recent years. But the college basketball landscape has changed so much. I don't know that you can necessarily blame the school itself for everything that's going on. So, yeah, I really liked the pick. I felt that, look, I mean, I really thought they would trade that number 3 pick But if they weren't going to do that, then they definitely needed to go out and get a player that filled a void that the Rockets really had. And I think Reed Sheppard does that.
You mentioned the number that he chose. I don't think there's any better choice of number than the number Dalton Connect picked with the Lakers.
Number four. What is it? Connect four. Yeah, that's what I saw. I saw that too. And that's the first thing I thought about is, yeah, that's a great name, Dalton Connect. But then you put the number to it. Right now, I think say he's the front runner as far as NBA nicknames go.
He's already my favorite Laker just for doing that.
Well, you know, speaking of that, kind of segues into something I wanted to bring up. With the Rockets, you know, the summer league play is going to be starting on July 12th. You know, you're probably going to get to see guys like AJ Griffin, Cam Whitmore, and, you know, Amen Thompson, I don't think is going to be on there, and neither is Jabari. But they're going to be playing their first game in the summer league against the Lakers. So you're going to get to see Connect Four, and you're going to get to see Bronny James right off the bat. That's pretty intriguing.
Yeah, I heard Bronny James's mom is sleeping with one of the Lakers players. It's a terrible
internet private thing. Inside joke there. You can go back and Google it, and I'm sure you'll read all about it, right?
Yeah, it's a terrible internet deal, but I just had to throw that in there. And yeah, we talked about Sheppard. If you want more about Reed Sheppard, tomorrow I'll be posting a brand new interview with Aaron Gershon, part of our Believe Network, who covered him at Kentucky. And yesterday I spoke to Hawks insider Bryce Davis about AJ Griffin. You definitely want to look for those two conversations. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app so you can listen on the go.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Steven, since you and I did our last Astros podcast together, June 18th, the Astros have gone from 7 games under 500 and 10 games out of first place in the West to 2 games above 500 and 3 games out. Wow.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't be podcasting. Maybe we should take a longer break and see if they can keep going. Here's a number that I saw, Robert, that is really interesting. Remember when the Astros were 7-19 in the first 26 games of the season? And you and I, we hadn't completely written them off yet, but we were going, what the heck is wrong with these guys? Well, since that point, and we're recording this on Tuesday, July 2nd, the Astros are 36-22. And they finished the month of June. They had the best record in the major leagues during the month of June at 17-8. I mean, this is more like the Astros team that we're accustomed to seeing. It's still an amazing turnaround when you think of how far they've had to dig themselves out of a hole from that 7-19 to where they are now, you know, just above 500. It's been remarkable, Robert, especially considering just all the bad misfortune that they've had this year.
Yeah, I wonder where they're percentages. I should have done a little bit of research on this, but what their winning percentage is this year without Jose Abreu on the team.
Yeah, well, especially since he got waived, but even when he was in Florida, you know, it'd be nice to kind of see what the turnaround kind of started around that time.
Oh yeah, they're over 500 without him. Yeah. And I have three players, by the way. I've got three players who deserve a ton of love. You know, we talk about so many Astros and more higher name guys, but these guys don't get much noise and they deserve it. Number one, Taylor Scott, the surprise of the season, the surprise of the season, I should say, not named Ronel Blanco. His career whip is 1.619. Right now, it's 1.016. And this weekend, he gave the Astros three straight crucial appearances against the Mets when they had a bullpen game and a long rain delay. Hat tip to the Aussie. Number two, Sean Dubin.
Yep.
He had a really important three shutout inning start in Sunday's game against the Mets. His ERA in June was 3. Props to Dubin. Next up, number three on my list, Stephen, Cesar Salazar. Since his call-up after Caratini went down, he's hit .357 with an .833 OPS and has done a really nice job with a very young pitching staff.
Yeah, all three of those guys, Robert. It emphasizes what I have said so many times, is that, you know, people can sit and talk about the Astros farm system and how weak it is all they want. But when it comes down to it, you know, sometimes a lot of these guys, they may be under the radar just as much as, you know, you can have a prospect. You know, let's use Forrest Whitley as an example. There's somebody that was really, really highly talented that just hasn't made it. Now, Taylor Scott was one. I mean, he wasn't drafted by the Astros, but this was a guy that I was hearing about during spring training. A lot of people were, you know, the Astros front office was real high on him. They kept, you know, pumping him up. And he's definitely been worth the hype this year because he certainly has come through. You mentioned those three Mets games, but it just seems like when Taylor Scott comes in there, especially if things have been falling apart, you know, the game isn't going well, he's just a guy that seems to mow them down. And Sean Dubin's a guy, you know, he's been toiling in the minor leagues for a little while, you know, especially in AAA. I mean, his name's been kind of, you know, bounced around the last couple of years in AAA. So it's good to see him finally get his due. Cesar Salazar, you know, remember, wasn't it last year, Robert? I think he was one of the surprise choices to make the opening day roster when the Astros went with three catchers. You're like, wait, Cesar Salazar, what is he doing up here? And he didn't do a whole lot then. So it's really cool to see him come up and really making a difference. He's gotten some crucial hits. And as you said, he's really handled the Astros pitching staff well. So all three of those guys are reasons that the Astros have turned things around. You know, we talk about the next man up mentality. Well, you know, here you are, you keep bringing these guys up, and then you have guys like Jake Bloss that you were hoping would, you know, do something right off the bat, and he comes in and gets hurt right away, but they just keep plugging along.
The storyline out of nowhere the last 2 months, though, is Hunter Brown is kind of looking like an ace. Chandler Rome quoted Bregman, who said he has a Cy Young type arm. ESPN's Sarah Langs had a crazy stat. Hunter has a sub 0.3 ERA in his last five starts. The only Astros pitchers who've ever done that are Nolan, J.R. Richard, and Jim Deshays. The last time it happened was 38 years ago, and all those other guys got the luxury of pitching in the dome, Stephen. He's got a 1.99 ERA in his last 11 appearances.
38 years ago, that would be in the 1986 team.
Yes.
So that makes perfect sense. And, well, you know, we've talked about waiting for Hunter to turn things around, and at the beginning of the season, it was really looking shaky. And I tell you what, I don't think the Astros would be where they are right now, Robert. There's no way they would be if Hunter were still in the same throes of struggles that he was at the beginning of the season. I mean, it has been remarkable what this guy has done. And it's great. You know, he's added the new pitch that I think has made a big difference. So, man, if he can keep it rolling, that is definitely a big help.
Astros fans turned on Alex Bregman this year quicker than you could say.
Including me.
Yeah.
You can throw me in the mix. I did an Alex rant earlier in the season on this podcast.
Well, did you know this, though? And this is why we forget the value of this guy. Alex Bregman has been helping Hunter Brown game plan, and he is getting a ton of credit for his turnaround, Stephen.
Well, I wouldn't argue that. I mean, not at all. I still don't think I would sign him to the max contract he might be asking for at the end of the season. But, I mean, it's interesting who some of the guys are that it doesn't have to be other fellow pitchers. You know, it could be hitting coaches, you know, telling a pitcher a thing or two. And in this case, Alex Bregman, a hitter, giving some tips to Hunter Brown. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Can't we just make Alex Bregman a player coach and then Jim Crane can throw some money that doesn't count against the cap at him for the coaching salary? Is that possible to do?
Yeah, I don't know. We'd have to, you know, make another collective bargaining agreement to make that happen. But yeah, that's an interesting point. Yeah, maybe something that Alex could do in the future. Maybe he'd be a good hitting coach or a bench coach or something.
Here's some more fun with numbers, Stephen. The Astros have the fifth best ERA in baseball since the beginning of May. And since Joe Espada gave Yonner a two-day break at the beginning of June, You might remember that. He's now batting 345 in that stretch with a 907 OPS in his last 21 games. So, you know, that's some really good news from both of those stats.
Yeah, and sometimes it just that's what you need is a reset. It doesn't work with everybody. You know, you see the normal one day off, but in Yonner's case, it was a 2-day layoff. And yeah, he's been more of the hitter that we were used to seeing last year. And, you know, Jake Meyers has had his ups and downs, but he's still plugging along. I mean, he had a home run the other day. I think it was, in the Mets series. So it's just good to see some of these guys that we were kind of on the fence about, weren't really sure about, or even guys that we thought might have come down seasons from last year, you know, really starting to pick it up now.
Luis Garcia makes his second AA start with Corpus Thursday. Steven, the last I heard on Verlander was that he started throwing a couple of days ago. Have you seen any more recent updates?
Yeah, that's the last thing. They haven't made a decision as far as, what Verlander is going to start. So, yeah, he is at least throwing again. And, of course, we knew that J.P. France would be out the rest of the year, but he did just have shoulder surgery. So he's going to be gone. But, yeah, Luis Garcia, it's going to be interesting. He had one rehab assignment. I think it was in A-ball, or maybe it was in the Florida Coastal League. But the second one, I think, will be very pivotal because it'll be in AA. So I'm really anxious to see what Luis Garcia is going to show as he starts making his comeback. I think they're still projecting him maybe sometime around the end of July.
And as far as I've heard from Lance McCullers, he can't throw overhead yet, but he can play that old skeeter ball at Dave and Buster's, from what I understand.
Yeah, I think Lance is still a ways away. I think they were hoping that both of those guys, him and Luis Garcia, would come back in July. But, yeah, I'm not sure that Lance is going to be ready for July just yet.
I don't know if you find it annoying, Steven, but I don't understand all this traction on a potential Astros trade for a first baseman, considering the Astros have five veteran starting pitchers out right now. I mean, we know this, Steven. You and I have been watching baseball since the 60s and 70s. You can never have enough pitching. Never, 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 never.
No, you certainly cannot, especially, I just mentioned Jake Blass. I mean, here's a guy that was just pitching lights out in not even a full season, really. You know, so you're thinking, here's a guy, he's got a fresh arm, he's going to come up, and he pitches three innings and has to be come out of the game because of arm problems. So that just tells you right there. It's like anybody that's going to pitch for the Astros, it might be a bad luck charm for them because they're going to get hurt. So, yeah, there's no way you can have too much pitching. And, you know, as far as the first baseman situation, I think you basically took care of the need, at least temporarily, by removing the thorn that was in your side at first base and Jose Abreu. I think that alone it definitely improved your situation at first base. And I know that it was in the extra inning game in Toronto on Monday, I think it was, that Joey Loperfido, he came in, I think, in the late innings, and they did have him at first base. So you at least have some versatility now that you can put. And the Astros also brought back up Gray Kessinger, who I know could, spell at first base if they need be. So I'm not sure that's your most pressing need right now, especially since you got rid of the biggest liability at that position.
And let me ask you this, Steven. If you can actually get to the postseason, you look at what the best lineup for this team would be. And I would argue that the first baseman, because he's the best defensively, and you don't want him other places in the lineup because you would rather these other guys play, like potentially Loperfido, Jake Meyers, Yordan Alvarez. The guy that you want at first base is Mauricio Dubon. Dubon is the best clutch hitter on this team, and I think he'd be playing first base in the postseason. And why go out and get somebody when Dubon has just been fantastic?
Yeah, well, that's another name. I didn't even think about that. Mauricio Dubon could be a definite option. So, I mean, you've got guys that you can toss around. And, let's say Jonathan Singleton suddenly hits the skids again, and you've got other options. You've got Loperfido that you can put in there because he has played some first base now. You've got Mauricio Dubon. Yeah, I'd say that would be your best option. If you're looking at an everyday guy, but again, it depends on how, what the injury situation would be by the end of the season, how guys are doing, as far as being in a slump. But yeah, Mauricio Dubon, it's his name you've got to throw in the mix for first base.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
We have seen rare anger from Jose Altuve the last couple of weeks. This is like seeing your dad, like, why is that? I never see him get angry. He's father knows best. He's the dad on Leave It to Be. You know, he even pulled Stephen the pine tar George Brett tantrum the other day.
You know, I know. And the funny thing is, now, didn't he have another incident a few weeks ago? I don't think he got tossed, but there was another.
No, he got mad. That's what I'm saying. It was a couple of times because it was he got mad. I want to say maybe it's the Angels.
It was 3 weeks ago.
It was like a bad call on a strike or
right,
something maybe.
Right. And this one, I guess, you know, he fouled a ball off his foot. Yeah. And he broke his helmet. Yeah. I mean, it's just so uncharacteristic of him. I don't know if it's just, you know, the frustration of how the season has been for the team. But then, of course, they're playing better now. But I think up until those times, Robert, I don't think Jose Altuve has been ejected. I think it was 2016 was the last time that happened. So definitely very uncharacteristic of a guy that when Jose Altuve disagrees with a ball strike call, then, you know, there's something going on. So you tend to kind of give him the benefit of the doubt with that sort of thing.
Yeah, no question about it. One last thing I've got, and if you've got anything else after this, go for it. But Jordan says he's got no interest in the home run derby. How do you feel about that?
You know, I don't have a problem with it, honestly, because as great as you'd like to see your guys represented, you know, you watch the home run derby, Robert, it really takes a lot out of you. And you see so many hitters who do it. And then, and I don't know if you could really put this to paper, but then when the season begins again, it's like they've run out of gas. So you know what, if Jordan Alvarez doesn't want to do the home run derby, I'm in his corner. Cause if it means he's going to hit more home runs and get better, cause he's starting to finally find his groove, I'm not going to argue with it.
Anything else Astros related that you want to throw out there before we move on?
Not really. I mean, it's just so good to see that they're turning things around. You know, they're starting, they're even starting to come back. Even when they get themselves in a hole, they're starting to get that same confidence that they had at one point of being able to come back. You know, it happened in the Mets series. And then, you know, when they were the ones that blow the lead, they get it back. So this team is definitely starting to look like the 7 years in a row of ALCS teams that we're used to seeing.
My favorite thing, Stephen, my favorite thing offensively is they're finally learning to get runs in on outs instead of base hits.
Yeah, manufacturing runs, and that's a big deal. And you know, if you can do that, whether it's a sacrifice fly, you know, you advance a runner here and there, I mean, it makes a big difference. You can't just go for the long ball all the time. You've got to know how to manufacture runs. I noticed lately, too, that I think the Astros were among the leaders of fewest pitches in a game at the plate, you know, having fewer pitches at the plate. Well, now they're starting to show patience. And again, that's going to, you know, the more pitches they get at the plate, the more walks they could draw, the more things that can happen, the more good pitches they're going to see. So that's another thing to point out.
Yeah. Last thing, I just want to throw this out there, and I don't have this in my notes, but I was just thinking about it because I think I put something up on social media about it. Rafael Montero is just, he takes a beating, and I don't think it's fair to him. You know, the Astros weren't forced at gunpoint by Rafael Montero to get that money. And the guy basically took you to Major League Baseball's best bullpen performance in a postseason in 2022. You couldn't have won the championship without how great he was. You know, there's the whole bullpen, but he was very much a part of that throughout that season. You know, once they made the trade for him, he really came up big. And I just, Steven, it just kind of frustrates me because, you know, this is about Jim Crane. If you want to go at somebody, you go at Jim Crane. But I don't want Montero to have to not go on social media because he's not the bad guy here. He's doing the best he can. He had a career season that year. It wasn't like it was a secret that it was a career season. He's just still being Rafael Montero.
Well, and listen, compared to last year, I mean, if you want to get on the guy, last year would have been the year. And you know, anytime that a player signs a huge contract like that and doesn't perform, they're going to hear those buzzers going off, the gongs and whatever, you know, and all the talk. But listen, you know, Rafael Montero certainly has had a better season this year than he has last year. And you're right. I mean, he didn't have to sign that contract. Wasn't he the first one of those relievers? I mean, the season was barely over and Montero had already signed that big contract. So they wasted no time in making sure they locked him up before they locked up a lot of other guys. So yeah, Jim Crane's the guy you want to come back for on that. We've talked about it, but at least I think Rafael Montero is earning his money more this year, certainly than he was last year.
Last year, his ERA was 5.08. This year, it's 4.31. His WHIP's down a little bit, but still not great. 1.4.
It's not great, but you know, as the season goes on, perhaps it will get a little better. And you certainly can't blame him for the team is playing better lately. So he's certainly not been a liability in that regard.
Yeah, he's having a tough stretch right now, though, and he needs to get out of it. But yeah. Last point I've got, just before we go, I got to say, it's just so cool to watch Simone Biles kicking butt again at the Olympic trials. She's still absolutely an electric performer with incredible charisma, maybe the most charisma of anybody in sports right now. I mean, I don't know. You might argue somebody else, but her excellence is also, Stephen, just lifted the entire Team USA Women's Gymnastics program because you can see the talent has never looked better. I mean, we're just loaded. I mean, there was girls that I was like, these poor girls aren't making the team. They're incredible. They would have made the team like 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah. And I know they've even had some injuries and yet they're still a top-notch team. You know, Simone Biles, Robert, is if there's ever an example of an athlete who puts their well-being first and then comes back and looks just as good as ever. I think, you know, when she won the other day, I quoted a tweet from someone else and I can't remember who it was now. It might've been from Team USA because I do some writing for them every now and then. I think I said something like the GOAT just keeps rolling along and that's what she's doing. You know, she took that time off for mental health and, you know, she had the courage to do that. She had the foresight to know when it was time to stop. And then she knew that she could come back and still be as great as she ever is. You know, that's just an example of how great Simone Biles is. Never mind the talent. I mean, that's obvious. But the fact that she can go through some struggles and say, you know what, I need to step back from this. And with a lot of athletes, that would probably hurt them from a talent standpoint, coming back and trying to make a team. Well, obviously not Simone Biles, because here she is.
And the cool thing, because of how the Olympics has changed and that you can make money, the Olympians now can take some time off for a year or two and rest themselves and kind of recover, which Simone Biles has taken advantage of some time here and there. So she's ready and can compete and have a longer Olympic career. This is her third Olympics now. And, you know, that we just didn't see that with women's gymnasts in the past.
No, you didn't. And you know, Robert, something else you just said, the fact that she can come back despite the fact of, you know, how strong the U.S. gymnastics team is. And like I said, with a lot of other athletes, they're on the outside looking in if they did something like that. So it's a testament to just how good Simone Biles is that she can do all that.
And just not just compete with, she's still so much better.
Oh, I know. Yeah, she's not just, you know, holding her own. She's still winning.
Yeah, I can't remember what the number was, but she got 12 feet in the air on her tumbling passes. They were showing that and they were saying, what's the comparison for like if LeBron James was trying to go dunk on a 12-foot rim, I guess, would be the equivalent.
Yeah, something
and
like that.
Like, that's pretty, I mean, she's 4'8". Let's remember that. She's 4'8".
I, you know, she certainly works hard, as hard as anyone does and the training that goes into something like that. But boy, when you can get up there that much, when you're 4'8", hey man, that's, I mean, you and I couldn't do that, Robert. We're taller than she is, but it's still, it is, in all seriousness, it's amazing. And it's just great that we can cheer for someone, you know, if you're from Houston, you know, a local product and somebody that has been on Houston Sports Talk, Robert, there's the HST bump for you once again.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I know it hasn't been recent, but
we shot her into stardom. Yeah. We shot her into stardom.
Yes, you did.
That interview, I want to say it was 10 years ago now. It's a decade since we talked to her. And she's done all right since then. So just love getting to see her. Hopefully there's going to be no twisties in a month or whenever the Olympics start here in Paris. But looking forward to that. Looking forward to some more Astros baseball. Finally get to look forward to some Astros baseball. Can't wait for the Rockets Summer League season to start up so I can see Reed Sheppard in a Rockets uniform. You know, I want to see some real shooting that we don't get to see a lot with the Rockets.
That's for sure. Yeah. Oh, and let's not forget, we're recording this, as I said, on July 2nd. July 18th, Texans training camp gets underway.
And Andre Johnson's getting in the Hall of Fame not too long from
That's
now.
That's right,
too.
And they'll be in the Hall of Fame game as a result.
Yeah, if you're an Andre Johnson fan and you haven't checked out our Andre Johnson tribute with a lot of incredible sound from people that we've talked about Andre over the years, guys that played with him, guys that covered him, really fun to do that show a few months ago as a tribute when he got into Canton. So I can't wait for that. It's just a fun time to be a Houston sports fan, like we keep saying. It's really good, and can't wait to do this again with you next week, Stephen.
Sounds good, Robert. See you then.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.